It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Looking forward to this one. Studio 31, Darren Millard along with Brian McCormick from the Henderson Silver Knights. We're simulcast on all team digital channels, and we are going to take your questions later in the show. Well, we'll take them right now, but we'll address them later in the show. So put them in the chat on X and YouTube and Facebook, on Twitch, and we are here to answer any of your queries. Is it about the Vegas Golden Knights? Is it about the Henderson Silver Knights? How about the trades that have been happening around the National Hockey League? Are you looking forward to the March 7th NHL trade deadline, or how the teams are playing? We'd love to hear from you, or just to check in. Let us know where you're watching from on Nighttime at Noon. Hello, Brian.
Darren, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, sir?
Good. I'm on All-Star break.
Oh, how is it?
So far, so good. It's about 12 hours old, and I'm here talking to you, which is what I like. Whenever I have downtime and I'm not doing Henderson Silver Knights things, I like to bother you, and they let me do it in a formal setting today, so that's
not
good.
To get in the way of our boss's business, Nate Ewell, but it seems like a relatively poor break that you're getting right now. You're on break, but you're working.
Well, it's break in the sense that the players are off recharging and relaxing. Really, it's kind of like a how I imagine teachers spend their winter breaks and whatnot. Like, they just get caught up on grading papers and actually thinking about the semester ahead. That's where I am. So this is exactly where I need to be, talking high-level hockey with
Darren
Millard.
Have you been around any teachers?
Only the ones trying to teach me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got news for you. They're not doing what you just said.
Okay, well, that's...
I live with a teacher.
It's disheartening.
Yeah.
She's
not digging into all that on her break.
I felt guilty on every school break I ever had, and for no reason. I need to go back.
It is kick back and have some fun.
So you're grading the papers.
People get much better at grades. How long is the HSK All-Star break?
Not too long. So the Silver Knights played Saturday night in San Jose. The All-Star Skills competition was last night. In Palm Desert.
That's a quick turnaround, Saturday to Sunday.
Yeah, Grigori Denisenko got in a car. It was actually being in San Jose was actually pretty helpful. He was able to zip straight over, so he was in the skills competition last night. And then the AHL All-Star Classic gameplay will be today. And then the Silver Knights, the team, I think will get back Thursday afternoon should be, I think, the next practice because the next two home games are Friday and Saturday. So it's quick, but it's meaningful.
So it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 days.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, we flew back from San Jose yesterday, so.
But you got to travel on Sunday, and you got to travel on Thursday, so it's not.
Well, Friday's a home game.
Okay.
Oh, they have to try. Yeah, whoever went.
So I mean.
That's another thing too.
So you're on the ice on Thursday.
Yeah.
So
Thursday
really,
afternoon. I
so
believe.
You got to travel on Wednesday, so it's Monday, Tuesday are really your only full days off.
Which
the
is player, also
the
where
players don't get a chance. Like this Four Nations, you got a chance to kick back the players in the National Hockey
League. Yeah, if you want to go to Cabo, you can do it.
Even NHL All-Star Weekend is a week with your bye week.
Yeah.
You factor that in. Players can get away, whether it's to the Caribbean or Hawaii.
Well, that is also where we're spoiled here, though, because there are a number of players, a healthy handful of Silver Knights that have stayed in town. Some did travel, if you want
to. That's what I was wondering.
Make that effort.
You might just be able to enjoy some quiet time at home instead of traveling.
I think there were 11 players at the Vegas Thrill game last night at Lee's Family Forum. So
right?
There's a bunch that's stuck in town. Because you also have the factor, if you live in the town already where everyone else is taking their vacations to, you don't need to escape Vegas. I mean, for a lot of the guys, they haven't actually gotten to
you know what they call
take
that?
Advantage the staycation.
Staycation.
Yeah.
I invented that.
They're a state.
Did you know that?
You invented it.
Yeah.
You take credit for so,
don't say that. I invented it.
You invented it.
Yeah.
And that's why your wife got no work done.
That's why she doesn't go anywhere.
I will say though, because there are players too who I know that some of the other players from around the league. Mm-hmm. Where do you think a guy in? I'm just throwing out one randomly, but Springfield, Massachusetts.
Vegas.
He probably wants to take his break in Vegas. Yeah. So there are some guys.
Ask me another question about Vegas, and I bet you I get it right.
Okay. How long is
Vegas.
Wayne Newton? That's right. So there are guys who. Not only are they having a staycation, but they're also hosting other players from around the league who have chosen to take their break in Vegas. So it being a shorter break is true, but you don't have to go too far to get some relaxation.
Let me peel back the onion a little bit more here.
Sure.
With you. You're having a staycation.
Yeah.
Not trademarked, but invented by me. What are you going to do in Vegas this week?
So, you know what? Actually, I'm going to do absolutely nothing. And... Except I'm probably going to be in the office trying to catch up on some things. But I actually had my parents visit here the week before we went on the road. So I haven't been in my house by myself since probably January 9th.
Sounds like a very healthy relationship with your parents.
Yeah. Well, no, it was very, very nice.
No,
but
you're complaining.
I left the day they left. I got back in town from Tucson the day that they arrived.
Sounds like you're complaining.
I left the day they left. Well, it was very, very nice. I'm just saying that I have not – I've been thinking way too much. Just constantly spin, and that's why, again, I've been able to watch.
Is there something in Vegas you haven't been able to do?
Can you check the document to see how many questions have come through? Because this has to be scintillating over the Vegas airwaves.
Is there something in Vegas you haven't been able to do that you
have
on your bucket list?
Oh, lots of things. Remember, I actually haven't.
You can't say lots of things and then not name them.
Well, I'm going to say, when I have people come into town and they say, hey, can we do some of the touristy things? I say no problem because I haven't done most of the touristy things. Okay. I haven't been to the top of the Strat.
I jumped off that.
You jumped off the top of the Strat?
Yeah. For our video department, we did a segment with the Strat.
Well, I vaguely remember that. You invented that.
I didn't hit the bottom. Fast. It was slow.
You took your time coming down. No, but yeah, I haven't done that.
I
haven't been in a handful of the hotels or casinos I haven't popped into yet. I have a very secluded Henderson life.
Have you been to the fountains?
Yeah. I showed my parents a couple of things.
You made that sound like it was a stupid question. Just after you say, I haven't done anything.
Well, the fountains are two blocks away from T-Mobile Arena. I've moseyed that far.
Have you had a picture in front of the Welcome to Las Vegas sign?
No, I haven't.
I haven't done that either. I want to do that for a Christmas card one year.
Every time I drive by it, there's like 40 cars in there.
Yeah.
I feel like
you just got to wait in line.
It's like anxiety. But
it's not bad because somebody's always
there. It's a parking lot with 9 spaces. I'm like, where am I even going to leave the car?
It's great because there's no lack of somebody to take your picture.
That's true.
And the people behind you are looking like, let's hurry this up.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm not a hurrier, though. Really? You start taking pictures of me in front of something, I'm just going to stand there and just, I assume that everyone wants one.
Send your questions whatever platform you're watching us on, whether it be X, YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook, and let us know what you think of the life that is of Brian McCormick.
Yeah, hopefully they're still watching after that.
The Golden Knights quest for a turnaround in this flat spot that they're in. And they're right there. They are so close. And they're just tripping over one little thing, and it's costing them wins. We'll get into that when we continue. Plus, you'll hear from Bruce Cassidy on this practice day in New York City. Part of the Foley Entertainment Group, AFC Bournemouth, is continuing their record-breaking season as they take on Everton this Saturday at 7 a.m. Show your support for the Cherries by watching matches via stream on NBC's Premier League coverage or stream on Peacock. Make sure you visit the Arsenal at City National Arena to pick up some Bournemouth gear. Head to afcb.co.uk, afcb.co.uk to learn more. Up the Cherries. We'll be back and listening to Bruce Cassidy along with Brian McCormick on Fox Sports Las Vegas and all the VGK social media channels.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Get into some hockey talk, Darren Millard along with Brian McCormick, and we'll dive into what happened yesterday against the New York Rangers and what is ahead. We've got Bruce Cassidy, his media availability from New York in just a little bit. It was a 4-2 loss against the Rangers in which the Rangers came back and scored 3 goals in the third period. If you watch the first period, first intermission, second period, second intermission, there's no way you would have thought that the goalie would have been in a position to be disappointed after that game.
Yeah, it was a really overpowering first 40 minutes, and in the third period, the Ranger power play had a chance to make an impact. And I think it's been, you heard Bruce Cassidy talking after the game last night, it's been one of the, I keep almost using the word frustration, which is funny because that's exactly what Bruce Cassidy said. That was a word he didn't want to use because it's something the Golden Knights have.
It's a useless emotion.
Is exactly the way that he phrased it. But some of the things he called attention to is it's a team that controlled the game for 40 minutes but didn't score enough to get some separation. Jack Eichel was the best player in last night's game, but the scoring beyond that, the opportunities, they just couldn't finish against Jonathan Quick. And then it just takes one or two mistakes or mishandles in the third period to make a close game a loss. And, you know, looking back at the this recent stretch for the Golden Knights of struggles that really goes back to when the Islanders and the Rangers were here in Vegas at the start of January, I think they have three losses that are by more than one goal, and those involve some empty netters as well. So it's been close hockey games, and it's just been little mistakes late. Failed clear on the power play goal that eventually was Mika Zibanejad's. Failure to get the puck up the wall on a puck behind the net that Zibanejad finds Keandre Miller eventually. Just those little mistakes or those little pucks that go against you in one-goal hockey games are the difference. And that's been the difference for the Golden Knights of late, and that's where Bruce Cassidy says, you know, we need to score more and we need to avoid those little miscues that are the difference in one-goal hockey games.
Well, I have good news. Today, Studio 31 with Millard and McCormick, We are cleansing the room.
How so?
Because this little flat spot, the month of January, really did start with you and I co-hosting Nighttime at Noon.
I was extremely careful when I was making my notes to not draw attention to that. So we need to talk before the show starts.
What we are doing is we are coming back together, we're doubling down, we're closing that chapter, and starting tomorrow night, all is going to be good on Long Island.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you're in the studio all the time, so it sounds...
But not with you.
Which it sounds like it's my fault. I'm the problem.
No, it's the two of us together.
Well, I'm glad that we figured that out, and hopefully no one tells Bruce Cassidy that.
Well, let's get to Bruce Cassidy. Here is the head coach after practice, which took place in New Jersey today. They'll play on Long Island tomorrow. But
the tour of the tri-state area.
Wherever you can get ice for a National Hockey League team. Here's the coach.
I just wanted to ask about the two guys, Jack and Alex. What's their status?
Both maintenance days. I expect both to play tomorrow.
Okay. How did you like the line shuffling you did last night? How did you like how it looked, and what did you take away from it?
Well, I mean, there's a goal. Coley makes a nice play in the breakout, so I thought they were okay. I thought Saad, well, we don't know if it, right? So I thought they were fine, too. They had some looks. He had a two-on-one. I think Howie almost had one, and Stoney had a couple looks off the rush three on two. So in terms of the chemistry of moving the puck together, they all had some looks. I like Lavoie's line too. They got around the net. We didn't finish as well as we'd like to, obviously, but I thought we created not enough, but enough to keep it together for another game and see where it goes.
Does it feel balanced having Keegan and Stone swap the way you did? Is that what you're going for
there? Yeah, we wanted that at the start of the year. We thought of Stoney with, we were working in pairs, right? We originally thought of Barbie and Jack, and we'd see who fit there, because Holtz was new. We didn't know where he'd go in. Olsson was new. He'd played with Jack, so I think we started him there. We thought Hurdle and Pav would be a fit, and they've stayed together, and we thought Carly and Stoney. And then, Nick had played with Kolesar for years. But Carly got hurt, so that never happened. And then Stoney got out and Carly came back, so we never really saw those two together, and something we'd still like to look at. But right now that we've landed on this just for balance, we figure we're playing every second day here till the break. We'd like to use everybody, and it should give us better balance. Should, so we'll see.
I was talking to Mark for a while, if I could switch to just what the four nations face-off would means for a guy like that. In your mind, I mean, you're going to be there. Guy in his 30s already. He's never had this opportunity, and this could be the prelude to playing in the Olympics a year from now, too. What do you think it means to get that?
Well, I think it to the Olympics, this is important. It's an honor to be selected, but the Olympics is another level of that. I mean, it's almost like the playoffs and then the Stanley Cup final type of thing to me. So that's the end goal. A year and change from now. Right now, being in the and winning this tournament is going to be his goal and every Canadian's goal when they get there, and I assume every team's, right? So,
what do you say?
But you're also, you can't help but think ahead. If you do well here, will that help?
Four nations to the Olympics.
You've got to be considered for the next team. So,
in the playoffs.
I don't know if you go down the other road. If I don't do well, then I'm out, right? Like, I don't know if players want to do that, get in their own way, just go play. But there's definitely some of that in play. So, what does it mean? Well, you put on that sweater, it's second to none, really. So, you got to get there to do it, right? I think I've been asked a number of times, and I bet Mark has, Jack, all of them. We're so in the moment right now that I'm in New Jersey thinking we're playing the Devils tomorrow. It's actually the Islanders. So, I mean, we're like, trying to stay. The Devils is Thursday, so you're not even thinking a team can, even though we have a Zoom call tonight with the coaches to square away some things. So you really got to compartmentalize a little bit that part, and then when you get there, be ready to get going, because you're up and running in a hurry. So I assume he's thinking that too.
On that Zoom call, will there be any discussion of him playing with Sidney Crosby? Because to me, it looks like there are two games we'd mesh.
Well, there will be discussion. There has been already on who goes with who. Jack, they've asked me. I said, to me, Stoney complements a center ice with speed. He's been great with Jack. He's great at getting the puck off the wall in a breakouts, neutral zone, to the guy that needs it with speed. He doesn't need between the blues. So whatever center you feel, and that could be could be anyone that's on the team, right? So, but that's what he'll do for that line. And then when he gets to the other end of the ice, he'll figure it out. He'll score. He'll make plays. He'll go to the slot. He'll go to net front. He'll do whatever's, needs to be done in that situation. But his strength is definitely his ability to get pucks to the middle. So hopefully that's the center, that he can complement.
What are we trying to accomplish with the practice today? What are we trying to get done?
Well, there's a lot of drills we've done before, Gary, to be honest. So there's pace between the blue lines. Last time we played the Islanders, they shut us down there. It was difficult to get through. So working to our spots, short, clean passes, quick support. Some of the breakouts are stretching out, are getting our players stretched out so we can have some easier breakouts from D-zone coverage. We weren't able to do that on the third goal last night. We had an opportunity to get out. So that's just review. A lot of more movement. There's some down low battles, but when you're in the heat of it and you're in February, I don't know that we need that every day. If we were giving up goals from D-zone coverage where we're getting outworked and beat one-on-one to the net every day, we'd focus on that more, but I don't think that's our biggest problem right now in terms of giving up goals. So it was more about puck support, get moving, and then we finished with a small ice game for fun. Guys, enjoy them, have a little fun and let your skill take over.
We talked about the forward lines. What did you think about D pairs being mixed up for the first time in a while?
Well, I was fine with the D pairs. Like, usually you're worried about communication in the neutral zone, who's stepping up, who isn't. The play that got us in trouble a little bit was the last one on the Miller goal in the corner. Nabber and Theo were out for it, and Nabber and Jack kind of one of them had to stay home a little bit to help make that play tougher from below the goal line out to Miller. So, and they played together. So, to me, they were fine. They'd have a better answer to that because they're used to having the same guy. But this is something we want to build into our game. And we back where we started. Well, if you remember, we started with Theo on the left, actually. So we're probably not going to land there. But with the three pairs that have been the most consistent together, we'll probably land on. But sometimes during the season, it's good to shake it up a little bit. And I don't think it hurt us last night. We'll see. We'll probably stick with it this week, like the lines, and then reevaluate.
How do you approach preparing for, I guess, what you would expect to be a low event hockey game typically is against the Islanders?
Well, we should be comfortable in those. I mean, we play in a lot of them in terms of we're not a high-octane trade chances every night. We can score. We've proven that. How do we score? Usually when we're checking well, we get pucks back, and we're really good in transition from that. So that's going to be key. When you chase a game against that team, it can get difficult. We found that out last time. They really force you to go through a lot of sticks and bodies. And so that'll be the point of emphasis is just, listen. Lately, it seems like we're in the game. We have leads. So I'd like to be in that position again. And let's get it right. It happened against Dallas. Columbus wasn't so long, but we did score first. Our starts have been better, and that's what everyone was on us. And we finished well, and now our starts are good, and we're not well. So that's just the ups and downs, I think, of a long season.
It is unique because the third periods have been the bread and butter of the Vegas Golden Knights this year. They've been dominant in the final period, and to have it go the other way is almost like Murphy's Law right now.
I think, and Bruce talked about it a little bit last night too, is just trying to find a little more depth scoring as well to gain distance in hockey games. They're playing well structurally, they're playing well defensively, but they're not extending leads. They're not putting distance. So right now, Jack Eichel's got points in 8 of the last 9. He had 2 goals last night. Tomas Hertl has 9 goals in the last 11. Pavel Dorofiev has 8 in the last 11. After those 3, there's no one else consistently finding the back of the net that gives you that swing shift in the third period to give you a little bit of breathing room. So I think that's significant. And you look at what they have coming against an Islanders team that had their winning streak snapped last night against Florida, but they'd won 7 in a row. They're doing well, but that's a rebuilt blue line right now. They have Dobson is out. They have Pulock is out. They've added over the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, Perunovic, Boqvist, and D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. Half of that blue line has been there for 2 weeks and were available for a reason. So for a team that's trying to
coincide with their best hockey of the year.
Absolutely. And again, last night against the Florida Panthers team that exposes a lot of teams, they had a little trouble in their own end, and that's why they gave up six. But it's interesting to see if there's a team that you want to get the puck below the dots and go to work grinding, winning, you know, below the circles. I think tomorrow night in Long Island is an opportunity for that.
You look at the complimentary scoring, and you knew that there would be some kind of pause or lag in the careers of Kolesar, Howden. And
sure.
It just wasn't going to continue at that pace.
Travel a little more towards the mean.
Yeah, love to get something a little more of Waugh right now or Olofsson. Like, there's enough there that there should be contributions. And that certainly points to why Mark Stone was moved to Brett Howden's right side and Keegan Kolesar moving up to try and get a little more balance instead of being so front-loaded.
I thought one of the interesting things last night, I thought Brandon Saad looked really good. And I think what Bruce was just talking about with the benefits of what Mark Stone does playing with anybody is he gets pucks to the middle of the ice. And Brandon Saad was living around the front of the net a lot last night. He was having a lot of the opportunities from the hash marks in. And, you know, sometimes we have a lot of examples over the last couple of weeks of players changing addresses. There's been a lot of trade activities the last couple of weeks. And I think you're always going to decide, is it going to be those first couple of games, a player that's looking to get acclimated to a new situation and finding himself, or a player that's leaving a situation that was maybe a little bit aggravating and is ready to be unleashed. And I think JT Miller looks like that with the Rangers. And Brandon Saad last night looked really activated, really downhill, and really involved in front. I thought Eichel was electric last night. I thought Saad looked really good. And the third one I thought was all over the place. You guys talked about on the broadcast last night. Raphael Lavoie had a lot of opportunities in what was probably his best NHL game.
We will evaluate and reflect on the Brandon Saad trade and get a little bit more into Raphael Lavoie as we continue on Nighttime at Noon. Want to take a break here, but before we do that, thanks to Chapman, because we were evaluating and playing off Bruce Cassidy as he spoke, and some of that went over the air, and people got to hear exactly what we say.
Sometimes I'm jealous of the people who are in the media scrum, and I feel like I wish we could be a part of it, so yeah. We did. We jumped in.
Yeah, we were like, oh, that was a cool comment. I like that. Hey, Vegas fans, if you want more Golden Knights content, head over to the Vegas Golden Knights YouTube channel now and subscribe. You can watch all-access player videos, game highlights, and even our special VGK Origins. Subscribe to our channel today to stay up to date on all things VGK and revisit some of the greatest moments as the Vegas Golden Knights.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I want to tell everybody the Vegas Golden Knights announced today that the team is now accepting deposits for ticket memberships for next season. Fans interested in becoming season ticket member have a couple of options. You got the can't wait list and you have the partial plan deposits. Get in touch with the Vegas Golden Knights if you would like to become a season seat member. Darren Millard along with Brian McCormick here in Studio 31 for Nighttime at Noon. It's our regular weekly hookup and to hang out, talking about the HSK and the VGK and the Tahoe Night Monsters.
Yeah.
Also involved. They're going to do a takeover. VGK is going to do a takeover of their rink this weekend.
And they're doing golden Night Monster jerseys, and they were here last week, a couple weeks ago, promoting that as well. So it's an affiliation day that the Night Monsters are having.
Things are going really well up there in the ECHL, so happy to report on that. And we'll do a little bit more checking in on the back half of the season on the Tahoe Club in the ECHL. A couple of things to get to. Brandon Saad, I don't know whether it's got enough play. There's been some national attention to it, but locally, Brandon Saad walked away from $5.4 million in the negotiations with the St. Louis Blues. They both decided, okay, good, and we'll terminate the contract. He had a year left on his deal. So he doesn't get that money. If he plays out the contract and he's sent to the American Hockey League or isn't around the team, he still gets his money.
Right.
When you dissolve a contract, it's over. You are now a free agent. So he signs with the Vegas Golden Knights for 1.5, so he's still losing cash. But the lure of winning and the desire to be in a competitive team, a competitive environment, in a better fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it wasn't going great in St. Louis, despite scoring 26 last year, only 7 this year. Just the motivation is incredible that you can walk away from $5.4 million with no guarantee you're going to make any of it back.
I think that's something you get to with a player who is 32. He's got plenty of tread left on the tires, but he's not a spring chicken either, which is to say he's been around long enough to win at the highest level, and to understand the value of winning and of being part of a culture that is geared towards a Stanley Cup. And not that St. Louis isn't fighting for that as well, but and the Blues, it just like you said, it wasn't a mesh this season for him, and he was looking for a different situation. So the idea that he was willing to leave money on the table to go find that right fit, I think you also get that from a player who has won and has the hunger to win again and thinks he's found a place where he can do that, and also throughout the course of winning and a long career has made enough money throughout the course that that doesn't have to be the primary factor in making his decision. I think this was an opportunity for him to get a clean slate somewhere else. And again, last night he played with that kind of freedom of someone who is excited for something new and excited for a different skill set to get to work with in a top six role.
And it's not because he just showed up and he's a free agent that everybody all of a sudden had interest, because he did speak to a number of teams.
Yeah.
When he had this year and next year left on his deal, it's very difficult for teams to take on that type of annual value, that cap hit.
Yeah.
But when you can negotiate your own deal and 1.4 prorated or 1.5 prorated this year, you can fit him under the cap. So he's the same player. The cap hit was preventing teams from acquiring him via trade or picking him up through waivers. When the contract got changed, there you go.
And also creates an entirely different dynamic for Saad, the player, because now not only does he join this new situation and all the optimism that comes with that and the opportunity to make an impact the Golden Knights hope he can, it's at an affordable figure that makes him an excellent addition at this point in the season for the cap structure. And you also now have a player who's playing for his next contract. So you have a player who's going to be auditioning for the summer, whether that be here or elsewhere. We're way too early in the relationship to have that conversation. But for the player, he now has something to prove in this new setting that adds a little more fuel to the fire as well.
Love the idea that he gets to join his team for 4 games on a road trip.
Yep.
Then he goes home. He can sort things out with family, get them here during the break, get them settled, and then you hit the ground running again. It's really a perfect time. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're seeing some of these trades too.
It's also the other benefit of the Four Nations coming up is for a Golden Knights team that right now again is scuffling a little bit and trying to figure it out. It does give you a little bit of an artificial deadline too of, all right, we've got the rest of this week. Let's hammer it out. Let's figure some things out and win, lose, or draw in that stretch. We're going to get a break after this. Some players and coaches are going to be involved in that tournament, of course, but it does give you a natural stop of a couple of weeks to hit the reset button after the conclusion of this road trip where the Golden Knights try to figure it out.
Love to keep talking about this, but we should acknowledge Bill Foley, who's in the room.
Yeah, he is.
Bobblehead Bill. There you go. Ron, is it able? Oh, good. You've got that great close-up. This is the bobblehead that's going to be available at the Henderson Silver Knights game on February 8th.
Yep.
And that's Military Appreciation Night. And Bill and the bobblehead is holding representation of the 4 teams that he owns. It's the best bobblehead I've ever seen.
We've been having a lot of fun with it. And, the first 3,000 fans on February the 8th for Military Appreciation Night, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, will get a Bill Foley bobblehead. We've been having a lot of fun with it. And if you look at the Silver Knights social media channels, you'll see some of the fun that our production team has had with it. You know, we've almost been having a bit of an elf-on-the-shelf quality to it. We've been putting them on windowsills and saying Bill on the sill. But we just like to think that when we're working, this is Bill's way of watching over us to make sure that we're all minding our P's and Q's. But it's a terrific bobblehead. It's like you said, one of the best ones you've ever seen in terms of like the likeness. Like,
yes.
It looks exactly like Bill Foley. But it's already a popular item around the office, and we're looking forward to everyone else having it in their homes.
And even the packaging is great, with the picture of Bill with the Stanley Cup over his head and the logos of the 4 teams. It's really well done. So that's coming up on February 8th at the HSK game at Lee's Family Forum. And Lee's Family Forum is hopping. Vegas Thrill going last night, volleyball team. But the Henderson Silver Knights, and just owning January.
Yeah, 6 wins in the last 8, an important stretch for the Silver Knights. So, again, we're in the All-Star break now. Silver Knights now into the All-Star break are 12 points back of that final playoff spot. But go back 2.5 weeks ago, they were 18 back. So they're chipping away, finding ways to win, finding better performances in third periods. And kind of the opposite of what the Golden Knights are going through right now, which is to say the Silver Knights have been in a lot of one-goal games, but they've been they've had three comeback wins this last 2 weeks when trailing entering the third period. So,
and how many comeback wins through December?
Prior to this run of 6-8, they had none. They were
right.
When they'd given up the first goal of the game, they were 0-20-1, and
so
now
they've
got 4 wins.
It's been a big turnaround.
And it's been a lot of the young guys stepping up. Matias Sapovalov had the shootout winner the other night. Probably the greatest example. We've talked about this on a variety of different programs, but Carl Lindbaum has been outstanding. He had the 2-1 shootout win in San Jose the other night. San Jose was
stopped all five shots, right?
Mason Morelli has come back from injury. He's been strong. Geach Quinney has points in 6 straight. So finding their stride a little bit. And also, I think the important thing was they had the 5-streak. They lost a tough one in Bakersfield. They lost a game that got away from them a little bit 2 nights later in San Jose. But what snowballed earlier in the season, they were able to put their foot in the ground and turn things around on Saturday. So it's a team playing better hockey. Like we said, the Four Nations break, how that will or will not impact the VGK team and their momentum. For the Silver Knights, it's actually unfortunate that there's a break right now. You'd like to just keep rolling along. But a 6-game homestand on the way, which kicks off 2 games in with the Bill Volley bobblehead. But this is an important homestand to see if they can make some hay in the West.
And the last little bit they've done with some players being up with the VGK. So it hasn't been with just a purely healthy and available lineup, because there's two different things in the American Hockey League, whether players are available or whether you're healthy.
There's been 2 guys missing at any given point. There was a period of no Lazinski and no Brisson, and there's still no Lazinski available to the HSK. Cal Burke was up for a stretch. Rombjerg was up for a point. Robert Hagg now will be for a little bit. So it has been with a little bit of patchwork mismatch, but again, it's a different grit right now. This is a team that is in 1-goal games in the third period, and believes they have a chance to win. And something they're doing better too. The game they lost Friday in San Jose was again some turnovers, some very similar third period issues to what the VGK had last night. And Ryan Craig talked about the importance of, we need to end plays. If we turn the puck over, if we fail to clear, if we loop back when we don't have to, all we're doing is keeping that possession alive. And it burned them on Friday. But that's something that over the last 2 weeks has been far less the issue. It's been controlled. It's been get the puck over, get the puck up, get the puck out. And that simplicity has yielded pretty good results.
Is it a structure thing that's made them better? Or where would you put the emphasis on the improvement?
I'd say structure in different zones. The neutral zone's been way better. I think the Silver Knights had a lot of trouble. They gave up a lot off the rush the first third of the season. I think that was just having a hard time tracking through the neutral zone. When you have that many odd man rushes or that many even man rushes where that second wave is hurting you, that's going to be a frustrating factor. I think the neutral zone's been way better. But then I also think there's just certain players who have had a little bit of a fire lit under them. And again, Raphael Lavoie looked so good last night for the VGK, and the puck following him around, as Bruce Cassidy said. That was Lavoie before getting called up. He had missed a couple of games. He was out of the line for a couple of games, came back in with a vengeance, and was making things happen, driving with his legs, playing to the inside, and letting his speed take over. You know, we talk about Raphael Lavoie's shot so much, but he can skate. And we saw that last night, too. He had 2-on-0. It didn't result in a shot on goal, but he was able to pull away a little bit.
He had a couple of other rush chances as well.
Yeah, so some of the young guys, the Sapovalovs, Kai Uchaz has been arguably the best offensive player for the Silver Knights over the last 10 games. There's a little bit of a coming into their own for the young guys, but the older players who, to this point in the season, weren't really living up to the back of their trading card, have looked a lot more like themselves the last couple of weeks. And I think just being able to string a couple of wins together, too, kind of lifts everyone's spirits. Because the Silver Knights, before the 5-game winning streak, had one set of back-to-back wins all season. So I think the aggravation set in there as well. This team started stringing a couple of good games together, and you saw a lot of guys looking a lot more like themselves.
You've been around the game long enough to know certain players are not what they're listed on the lineup or the old hockey cards. Raphael Lavoie looks every bit 6'4", where I look at him and go, is he taller than that?
Yeah, you know, I haven't lined him up against the wall with the pencil and taken a mark, but he's 6'4 at least, but I think
it's 6'4, 219 is what he's listed.
Yeah, I think he plays heavier than he looks too, because he looks long. He doesn't look like he's throwing right. 220 around. But no, he's strong and he's got a lot of power in his stride. So that's a thing I think that also you like to see when the intensity ratchets up and when there's a little more assertiveness in the game, is he can play a physical style too. Particularly when he gets the puck into the corners and goes in on the forecheck, he can make life hard below the goal line. So I think that's just the next thing to add. The shot is there. The vision is there. Now it's being harder to play against and again, steps in the right direction.
When was the last time that you leaned up against the wall and had the pencil mark?
I don't want to know anymore. Like you said, not everyone's as listed as what they used to be. I was 6'2", 220 when I left college.
Think you've shrunk?
I've decided to stay 6'2", 220.
Which number is more important to you?
Oh, the 6'2", because I know the 220 is a lie.
Check-ins coming up. Wherever you're watching right now, send us a note. Love to hear from you. We've got some great ones on the way. The Vegas Golden Knights ECHL affiliate, the Tahoe Night Monsters, will transform into the Tahoe Golden Monsters this weekend for affiliation weekend as they take on the Adirondack Thunder on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Head to nightmonsters.com to buy tickets, jerseys, and more. You can also show your support by watching the Golden Monsters on Flow Hockey. Tess, the waters. We'll be right back.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Don't you wish you could keep up with the VGK right at the touch of your screen? Well, now you can with the official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights. You can scan, you can buy, you can transfer tickets, play new exclusive games, access live stats, receive game updates, and so much more. The official mobile app of the Vegas Golden Knights is available now on your smartphone through the app and Google Play. Canadianism. Mobile. Mobile. I have to actually think about it. Mobile.
That's your process?
Process.
Right.
Well done. You don't miss a beat. We got some check-ins coming in on Nighttime at Noon with Darren Millard along with Brian McCormick. Duff Valley from Southampton on YouTube said, I went to the AFC Bournemouth today and bought a Golden Knights t-shirt and just bought my Tahoe Night Monsters jersey too, thanks to Duff Valley out in Southampton.
I always enjoy when I get to go to games at T-Mobile Arena. There is a wide spectrum of fashion at VGK games, whether it's people wearing their current VGK swag or the reverse retro jersey from a couple of years ago. But then you'll see people who are rocking their Silver Knights stuff, their Silver Knights themed jerseys. You'll see Night Monsters stuff now too. It's almost another sign of fandom, how deep you can go into the fashion folder of the VGK. Is how knowledgeable a fan you are.
Interesting that you go down that path, because Ron Panda on Twitch says the new Tahoe Night Monsters jersey is so sick. I think that's good.
Yeah.
What have been your favorite VGK affiliated jerseys?
Now, do you think Ron is saying the new Tahoe Night Monsters, the jersey they debuted this season, or do you think he means the Golden Monsters?
I think
jersey?
The Golden Monsters
okay.
jersey.
That is strong. So VGK affiliate jersey, so that would be something that either the Silver Knights have worn, or the Ghost Pirates, or the or the Night Monsters. Yeah,
I like the jersey that they wore in the outdoor game in Tahoe, that red jersey.
Yeah,
that was just different than anything we've seen, but it was really well. I loved that sweater, just the splash of color, and
plus you got to do that cowboy photo shoot.
No, that was for the Winter Classic.
Oh, sorry, crossing the. You just do so many different costume changes. I lose track.
The gold jersey, though.
Yeah.
When they wear the gunmetal gray, the odd time at home, I find myself really longing for the gold. I miss it.
Mm. I think my favorite VGK one is still. I love the reverse retro jersey, just because I also love the homages to the different landmarks in Vegas that came out with that. But I also, affiliated-wise, on the Henderson side, I love the Henderson third jersey. I really like that House Henderson. It's got the black with the silver and gold trim. It's sleek. It's got that really hard-to-draw House Henderson crest logo. I get a kick out of that one.
What do you mean, hard to draw?
It's hard to draw. It looks like a family crest, and it's if you ask me to do that in my notebook.
Do you spend a lot of time doodling.
I told
logos?
You I'm on break, Darren. And you asked how I'm spending it, and I'm making poor sketches in my notebook. Yes, that's what I'm doing.
I doodle more than anybody.
Well, you should try the House Henderson logo.
But I've never tried to do a logo before or gone down that rabbit hole.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my third and fourth grade? That's all my notebook was team logos.
Really? Who's the one that you love doing? There's the logo up if you're watching on the stream.
See, I can't draw that. That is outside of my talents because it is not a stick figure. But
that would be great in a paint by number, because there's so many different zones to it that you could actually get right into it.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it.
Can you do a paint by number?
I don't know what that is.
What do you mean you don't know what that is?
What is paint by number?
You've never done a paint by number?
Why am I not allowed to know?
Do you guys
things?
Know this? Yes.
Okay, Justin's on my side. Justin's also confused.
So
the minor leaguers don't know.
If you're watching on the stream, Ronnie, can we put that Henderson jersey back up there? There's certain parts of the logo will have a one, and you paint, say it's the red zone. Yeah, there we go. I can't believe Ron just got this up. He's got an actual paint by number up. So see the ones?
This is definitely pre-arranged before the show.
That's, say, red. Twos are blues.
Yes.
And threes, and so you don't have to think. You just color it into your number.
Well, all right, well, two things. First of all,
you didn't know what this was?
I've never heard a name for this before.
What did you think
it
was
called? Second of all, I haven't seen one since 1993. Like, I don't get Highlights Magazine anymore.
Oh, it's very popular on the games on your iPhone.
I don't have games. I'm working all the time.
What did you think that was called?
I haven't thought of that in 20 years. I didn't know it existed. I've been doing the trace mazes and the word find. That's what I've been doing.
You've been trying to be an adult.
I've been trying to find all the hidden items inside the big picture. Trying to be an adult.
You still got time. You can communicate with us, comment section on X and on Twitch, wherever you're watching right now. What are you a fan of the paint by number? So we should have a VGK paint by number.
Well, now we have to.
Yeah.
Now, for the sake of redemption, Ron, next time I'm in here, I'm going to do one, and we're going to just put it back here. That'll just be the backdrop for the show.
VGK versus HSK paint by numbers. This is the conversation you didn't know you were going to get today.
This is the 11th conversation we've had that you didn't know you were going to get today.
Brandon F. on X asked, okay, that I feel like that might have been planned. Like there's some kind of subliminal meaning there. You know, like people put in fake names just to get you to say it. If I didn't know Lexi well enough, I would say that she's trying to trip up the old tongue twister there. Brandon F. on X asked, is Tampa Bay going to miss the postseason? They're a point out right now.
I don't think so.
Is that just because it's Tampa Bay that you don't think so?
I think there's too much firepower. I think their second half's better than their first. I think once you get into games that have playoff significance, I trust Vasilevskiy more than anybody else. I don't think they're missing. But I'll tell you, it does bring up something else interesting, though, which is kind of, I think, what the VGK have been battling with these last dozen games or so, is you look at some of the teams that they've been playing a lot of teams, and a lot of Eastern Conference teams, but a lot of teams that are playing very desperate hockey right now. And if you look at the battle that Tampa is in, the reason we're asking this question, honestly, is because you're getting way better out of Columbus than you thought you were going to get. Marchenko just went on IR. He had surgery, so they're going to lose him. But Columbus has been strong. Detroit's been a wagon for the last month. So maybe that wild card race has gotten a little more contentious and a little more complicated. But right now, you've got, five or six teams that are viable for that wild card spot. I just don't know. Frankly, right now, the Red Wings and the Blue Jackets are the two teams holding the wild card spot. Mm-hmm. I don't even think those are the two that are going to win it. Myself. So, the teams on the periphery.
I just like pausing and just taking a step back and listening to you fill the time. Myself.
But
frankly.
What do you think, Darren?
Frankly.
What do you think? Get a few shots in here the last minute.
I enjoy the use of the word frankly.
Frankly. I think of all the teams that are in the mix right now, and there's Columbus and Detroit have 59 points. The Flyers are second to last in the East with 52. Of the nine teams that are in the mix, I don't think Tampa is in one of the top two or three of them.
So they're making it or no?
I think they're making it.
Okay. I think they're going to make it because the teams that are ahead of them right now, Columbus, Detroit, and Ottawa. Ottawa's in a top three in the Atlantic, but really they're right in the wild card.
And they've won seven
race.
Of ten.
They're due for a fallback. They've had their good run. Everybody has their good run, and then there's a little bit of a reset. I think Tampa Bay is better than Columbus, Detroit, and Ottawa, and they'll find a way. And Boston, I still don't know what they are. The Islanders have certainly had a resurgence, and the Rangers, can they push? Well, Tampa Bay has an advantage there, and I think they're better than the teams right in front of them.
I think they have the best goaltender of any of the teams we just talked about.
Allmark coming back could change the fortunes for Ottawa. They're very bullish on when his influence on their team. He hasn't been healthy enough to be really good.
But including Ottawa, and you're right to include them. Yeah. That's three spots. I think Tampa can get one of those three.
Anything else you want to add?
No, that's final. That's my defiant stance to end this afternoon. And looking forward to a few more games before the Four Nations tournament, which we did not really get to talk about at length, but that's going to be a lot of fun too.
I can't wait for people in Vegas to be able to watch best on best with a vested interest.
Yeah.
Of watching our players.
A lot of EGK representation.
That takes it to a whole different level. It's so much fun.
And it's going
to
be fun during the course of the tournament, how it evolves, how much intensity there is in these games.
For Ron, Justin, Lexi, and Brian, I'm Darren Millard. Thanks for watching and listening to Nighttime at Noon.
Say goodbye, Bill.
Bye, Bill.